Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here. You're watching Life on Fire TV. Fired up to have my good buddy, Brad Costanzo here.
Oh, there we go.
Got it. That was the second take, and the snap was just as good on the second one. So, welcome to the show, man.
I appreciate it, brother.
Got a good frosty beverage because it's past 5 o'clock and
5 a.m.
Oh, that was the joke we had in the last one, but yes, it's anything past 5 p.m. We're good for a beer.
Absolutely.
So we got a really great show here for you guys today because we're going to dive into, and by we're, I mean Brad is going to dive into techniques that you can use to grow your leads, grow your influence, and grow your revenues on Amazon. And so it's super innovative, super cool strategies that I'm excited to learn. And then also just some mindset techniques that are going to really help you in your business. And you definitely want to hang on for this episode because Brad is a serial entrepreneur and online marketing expert. And this guy can help you take your business from wherever it is now to the next level.
Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and I'm a kick-ass business coach. And I'm on an absolute mission to help you find your purpose in life. To help you love what you do for work every single day, to help you be the rock star that you are meant to be, to make more money than you ever thought was possible, and to have more time freedom so you can actually enjoy the life that you're living. I'm here to help you set your life on fire.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. Welcome back. So, dude, great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it. My pleasure.
It's awesome to have you on. So, Brad and I are in a mastermind together, mm-hmm. and super cool. Basically, we have, what is it, about 12 guys?
Yeah, 12.
12 guys, I mean, just super talented, very successful online marketers and really business owners from, you know, quite a few different walks of life. And we meet up once a month, and I mean, it's so powerful.
You know what blows me away? The fact that you, I was having this conversation earlier with somebody who's kind of not in the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the word mastermind because I was at a mastermind this week, and they go, what's that?
Yeah.
Like literally, they haven't heard of it, and this happened several times. It's really, we take for granted the word mastermind as something that we're involved in a lot.
Yeah,
and we think, isn't everybody?
Yeah, I know. I forget too. You know, it's like I'm back home, and like, oh yeah, I was in a mastermind last weekend, and it's like, you know, aunts and uncles are like, what is Nick doing? He's in masterminds.
Yeah, like, is that a cult?
Yeah.
What is that?
But I mean, they're so powerful.
That's
one
of the best things I've ever.
You know,
done.
Getting together once a month. I mean, with 12 guys, we're talking. We end up at 7 o'clock, and the format is really cool. I mean, we go and share the things that are working in each of our businesses, and then share resources with each other and how, you know, what we can do to help each other. And I mean, from that one, you know, group alone, I mean, there's been, I've made extra money from it. I've gotten resources. I mean, you're always dropping resources in there and it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Get yourself in a mastermind.
That's number one thing that, you know, the relationships you develop and the resources you get. I mean, there's always somebody else who has the answer to your question.
Because they've been there, you know? So learning from their experiences. So definitely plug into a mastermind. And if you can't find one, Life on Fire, we've got amazing masterminds. So stay tuned for that. Stay plugged in. But cool. So here's what we're going to be talking about today. So we've got Brad here. We're going to definitely just dive in and just pick your brain.
Cool.
And so we always like to think about Life on Fire as four pillars. We've got mindset, marketing, networking, and purpose.
Perfect.
So I think what we're going to do is take the purpose side, and we're going to save that towards the end for your podcast and why you're making that pivot and that shift.
Great.
But let's hear a little bit about, you know, before we dive into the pillars, a little bit about your background.
Sure.
You know, and just think, you know, less than 5 minutes, just bring us up to speed and kind of how you got to this point and how you sold the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a crazy ride. In the first part of my career, I was in sales, like financial services sales. I was a financial advisor. I was a consultant. I did commercial real estate consulting. And I liked the sales and the interaction and the aspect, but I didn't like the the prospecting, the hustle. Yeah. I didn't know anything about lead generation. It was just nose of the grindstone.
Yeah.
And at the back in, I guess, 2007, I read The 4-Hour Workweek, which has inspired many entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I just said, I got to figure this out. This is too cool. So, nose back to the grindstone, started a business publishing information online with a partner of mine. And we grew it to a nice six-figure business. It was really pushing.
And by publishing information, like just give us a little bit of a dive on that. So were you the expert and you were taking your knowledge and putting it out as a product and packaging it, or how else were you?
A little bit of both. So on this one, I was the expert.
Okay.
And then I guess, further versions of it, where I would publish other people using my, because now I had a list, which is distribution, and I had the knowledge. So I would reach out to other experts and say, well, let me show you how you can get out there and do that. So they would create information that I would own. And
you'd almost like publish them. Yeah. Or get, cool.
Yeah. And then that's one of the businesses that I sold. I started another business, a software company, which is called Pig Tones, stands for Politically Incorrect GPS Tones. So we hired celebrity voice actors to create different voices, giving you turn-by-turn direction in your Garmin and TomTom.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no
so that
way.
Was kind of
That's
fun.
Cool.
Like Cartman and
Who was like the cool celebrity that had his voice?
Oh, well, it was actually the characters, like Stewie from The Family Guy.
Oh,
was by
no
far
way.
The best. But yeah, Sean Connery. And
Sean Connery?
Yeah, Sean Connery.
We might need
voices.
To cut in a Sean Connery clip right now.
Yes, I'll play your game, you rogue.
Well, the key to it was, I treated it as a marketing laboratory and just trying to figure out a little bit of everything out. I never held myself out as an expert in anything. And the funniest thing is one of the very first products I ever did had to do with magic tricks, like bar tricks. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to figure out if I could sell something online. And I fell in love with the process of selling and online and creating systems and things like that. So I collected a lot of knowledge along the way.
Know how to do the bar tricks, or did you sell courses on
that? Well, I sold courses on it, and I knew how to do a handful of them, but then I decided I wanted to I saw a little opportunity in the market, so I wanted to learn more. So I went out and learned them, and I retaught them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, and I realized...
Modeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Take what's out there and... Don't copy, but look at your competitors and you can create a business.
So there is one of my favorite books. I wish I would have come up with this name. I would wear it on a shirt, but it's Borrowing Brilliance. There's a name of a book.
Okay.
And it's really about how to... stand on the shoulders of giants and take the inspirations from other people in different areas to solve any problem. Like, I'm going to borrow the brilliance of you from this to this. And sometimes you can create something brand new, even though it's not original, not totally copying. But there aren't that many original ideas out there, and it's how you package them. So to continue on the long story short, I built that business. I sold that business and then about a year and a half ago, both of them. And then when I moved out here to sunny San Diego from Dallas, Texas, and in the meantime, I had been doing a lot of consulting with friends and other entrepreneurs and various areas, and one of them I noticed had a big health following, health and fitness, and he had information products, and he had this little orphan book out on Amazon Kindle, and that was it, and I realized that he wasn't really making any sales.
Yeah.
At the same time, I had this epiphany that if I'm looking for free information, I go to Google. How do I do this?
Sure.
When I intend to buy information, I go to one place. We all do Amazon.
Yeah.
When I'm there, nobody's there looking
for
free
stuff.
It's
your buying search bar. You know, it's your Google for buying.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazon doesn't give you anything for free. You have to buy everything there, right? So it was this epiphany that was like, this is where people are buying information. Why am I not publishing there? So I dove deep in, trying to understand everything about Amazon publishing, and I republished his book, relaunched it. He had 45 sales in 6 months doing it himself.
Okay.
So we relaunched it. It became the number one book in health and fitness for like
nice.
2 or 3 weeks running. Still just a perennial bestseller, and it's led to everything from an enormous growth in his business, you know, just off of Amazon.
Sure.
It led to an infomercial. It led to, it led to some physical products, and it led to a lot of other things because you're able to capitalize on the credibility of being a number one bestseller over here. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is how that fits into your overall marketing strategy.
Huge.
Yeah. So to kind of finalize this, what the other areas I've been doing is working with entrepreneurs in everywhere from real estate, software, financial information, you name it, some online, some offline, and helping them, number one, license both their own content to other people and allow other people the right to use it, to rent it, per se, as well as...
Dude, so you're like Mr. Wonderful.
I am Mr. Wonderful. But that's kind of one of my passions, is really understanding the borrowing brilliance and leveraging what other people are doing to find kind of the shortcuts.
Okay.
Because I am lazy when it comes to doing all the hard work. I always look for the shortcuts.
Well, anything after 5 a.m. is, off-duty hours,
you
know?
Hey,
so that's to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's awesome, and that's a very, inspiring story. I mean, I think what's so cool is, it's reading a book, The 4-Hour Workweek, set you off.
Right.
And for me, that book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, in college, and that set me off. And I just want to just encourage and challenge you that, what is the book for you? If you haven't, if you still have a job or you feel like you're doing something that you don't love, then stay plugged in on our podcast. You're going to hear about Brad's podcast, but surround yourself with the positive content. Find that book, be a voracious reader, and then, find that book or topic or podcast that makes you want to just pop off and go that direction, because your story is crazy. I mean, I think what's so cool is it's starting by looking at what's out in the industry and then modeling, and then you took what was something that wasn't working for that client, and then you created a case study. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I'm always talking and teaching is like, you've got to first create a case study for you to then become the expert on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't just come out and say he was an expert. It was, wow, I see an opportunity. That's where people are buying. You identified it. You did the research. You then proved it by getting a case study. You saw that crazy, crazy amount of success that resulted from one book.
Right.
And that packaging, that success story is now something that you can use value-based pricing on. You know, you can charge, if that all that happened to that one client and that made hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for them, that's worth 50 grand. That's right. Worth 30 grand, you know? So.
And what's cool is although I still publish occasionally, I'm very picky about it because Amazon is not the end goal, but it is still one of the best foots in the door for other consulting relationships, which is what I really love. And that's sure. where I say, well, let's take a look at your overall funnel and what yep. you're doing. And well, let's see, does this have a place? And if it has a place in there, not only can I get the book written for them and do all the other stuff, whether they sure. want to write it or utilize my resources, but now we've got a working relationship with. I could specialize in one little area and yeah. it opens the door for a lot of other places.
Huge.
So if people are worried about, like, if you want to do consulting or work with others, I'm not big enough to get in there. You don't have to be an expert in everything. Be an expert in one little thing. Jam yourself in the door, become invaluable, and now you're trusted.
Yeah.
And like, okay, well, what else can you do?
Right there, that is huge because, you know, I come back to narrowing your niche.
Right.
And it's like when I hear your name and I think of you, I think of Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I know that you do way more than that, but that's a very valuable thing to have that mind share in my mind and in the minds of lots and lots of people. And that's the same thing that I did when I went to a mastermind event that we're talking about in the beginning, and Eben Pagan just came back and said, you've got to narrow your niche.
Yeah.
If you're a social media marketing expert, you're nothing in no one's in everyone's mind. Versus I became a Facebook marketing expert, and he was like, Nick, Facebook, boom. You know, Brad, Amazon. And again, it's that foot in the door. And so, you know, for you guys, if you can take what it is that you're passionate about, and just when you think that you've got it, just challenge yourself to narrow it down one more step and one more step, because the more narrow it is, the more you're going to be able to build up that expertise even faster.
So. Just to kind of punctuate that, I read a great book. If you're in the world of direct marketing, mm-hmm. you haven't read Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson, it's amazing. And in there, so Michael Masterson is he's one of the heads of one of the largest direct response companies, you know, nine figure business called Agora Publishing. Mm-hmm. And in it,
huge.
They do a lot of newsletters and publications and front end products and back end marketing. But he says something I'll never forget, which is, your cheapest product, your lowest end foot in the door, whether it's an ebook or whatever, has to be the tip of your spear, has to be the sharpest, most cutting edge, most amazing thing, but it's your cheapest, it's your lowest end. But it's the rest of the things that, where you make all the money, the back end can be generic. So they may sell an amazing report for, you know, $47 or whatever on something nobody else is talking about.
Yeah.
And the upsells and the continuity is something maybe everybody else is talking about.
Sure.
But it's that tip of the spear that people go, I need to have that. So in a lot of ways, I used Amazon as the tip of my spear. And then they got to work with me. And they go, whoa, you can do this. You can do this. I was like, yeah, I got more talents than you know. Yeah, so I highly recommend having one specialty, if nothing else.
Yeah, narrowing it down, having one specialty. I'm definitely going to check out that book. I haven't read it yet. I've heard lots of good things. So it's going to get added to the queue.
Don't get me on book recommendations.
We're going to definitely have that come out at the end, because I know that you're well-read, and I love that you study NLP and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and I think while we're kind of on this section, I think we should just stay, you know, and dive into the marketing pillars. So as far as the book publishing, so if you're going to explain to me as a guy that I haven't done a book yet, you know, it is something that I've talked with Mike Hannings about. I'm doing some stuff with him, and I know that it's going to help me go to the next level.
Yep.
And I know that for you guys to get this content from Brad, you know, no matter what I love is that you can just take something that you love to do, take a passion. You know, that's what Life on Fire is about, is taking something that you love to do, put it into a book that could be the front end, the tip of your spear, and then boom, you could then evolve and sell other products and services after the fact.
Absolutely.
So for someone that is, you know, a newbie mm-hmm. as far as creating a book, you know, what are the steps? How do you go through that?
So the number one thing is, well, first of all, there's creating a book for yourself.
Yeah.
Which, what is it? What do they say? The cobbler has no shoes or something. I don't even have my own book yet. It's still in process.
Yeah.
But which is really, it's ironic. However, it's decide, do you want a book for yourself? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to build your credibility? Or do you want to do it more as a service for other people?
Sure.
And I went the route of working with other people.
Yeah.
So there's two ways, but I'll quickly cover both.
Yeah.
So depending on where you're starting, this really all matters. If you've already got a business, if you've already mm-hmm. got other products or things that you offer people, one of the best things in the world you could do is take that, repurpose some of what you've got into a book. People who've got online courses.
Or podcasts.
Podcasts, maybe? Absolutely. That's one of the best things is to repurpose your podcast content as a book. You can transcribe it. You use a developmental editor, which is different than a proofreading editor. Because a developmental editor, they're the ones who, they're kind of a writer and art, but they just want to really dive into it.
So they can take something like a webinar recording or something that's really janky and turn it into something nice?
So one of my...
Something that you'd be proud of?
So one of my second books... called Reverse Wholesaling by Kent Clothier, who's currently one of my top clients, and you know him as well.
Yeah.
He came to me because he heard about my success with Drew, my very first client in the Amazon
Drew
world.
Cannoli?
Yeah, Drew Cannoli. So he said, "What can you do for me?" He goes, "I don't want to sit down and write a book." I go, "Well, do you have any other content out there that is really highly valuable?" And he said, "Take a look at this webinar." It was maybe a 2-hour webinar on how to wholesale real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a look at it. It was really good content. And I had it transcribed. I sent it to my developmental editor. And I said, "I want you to keep this in conversational format, such as it's a dialogue. And what we're going to do, we're going to clean it up and take out the ums and the ahs and the conversational nuances and send it to the editor on Elance or Odesk. They cleaned it up. And then on Amazon, we position it as, and if you go to Reverse Wholesaling on Amazon, you'll read, this book is a formatted transcript of a highly exclusive video training on how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So every person who purchases this book also gets free access to the accompanying video training.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so smart.
Right? Okay. So we took the webinar. We sold it. You know, we sold the book for $2.99, I believe. It may change now. But in essence, we repurposed what he's got. And we didn't position it as this is a book. This is a highly valuable transcript of video training, and because we put it out there, people loved it. $2.99.
And so are you finding that a lot of people are buying that just to get the actual footage?
I don't know what their intent, but a lot of people buy it. And what's great is we don't do any really internal or external marketing.
Sure.
It's just out there. And the cool thing about Amazon and iTunes, podcasts, whatever, is success is sticky. So if you do an initial push and you get the rankings up there, people see it on the top of the charts, like, "Oh, I'm going to buy that again." There have been some studies, and I don't have the exact figure or who did it, but I'll say they on the internet.
Them. They're always, you know.
So it must be true.
Yeah.
But we've seen this in our business, which is the customers who find you through a book, especially, probably a podcast as well, even though the book may be the cheapest thing you ever offer, the lifetime value of that client is 2 or 3 times as high as somebody who comes in through your squeeze page or somewhere else, because the credibility that, "Oh my God, I bought this guy's book and I bought..."
Versus I came in on some lead page, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's so cool that Mike Koenigs, who's in our mastermind, I mean, he's always coming back and saying that, I mean, some of his highest quality leads are all coming through his books, and he's got his system. And
there's something that does to you when you buy the book, especially if it's a physical book, whether Kindle physical, and like, "Oh my God, I'm going to find out what else this author has." Yeah. And you have this kind of halo effect over you.
Sure.
Because you've got that third party endorsement of somebody like Amazon. And you know, we didn't really talk about this. People may not know. You know, like, if you gave me a PDF right now and we wanted to publish a book on Amazon, you know what it would cost you? Nothing.
Nada?
No. Amazon is revolutionized really the world of publishing, because they make anybody can publish for free, and not everybody can publish well for free and have results, but you could, if you write up a 15-page book,
just a Word document, convert it to a PDF.
Absolutely. Dang. You could upload a Word document and publish it, and within 24 hours it'll likely be live. It's crazy. Now, what my clients work with me for on that is to do it well and to really propel it up the ranks and to engineer a lead flow from the book to get into the rest of their funnel to buy more stuff.
So what I'm picking up on this is that basically for someone that, you know, drills down on what their passion is, what they love to do, and they're clear and they've got their target market, they've got their they narrowed their niche, and then it sounds like you can take content, you repurpose. So if you have podcast episodes, if you have webinars that you've done or training programs, I mean, shoot, sounds like with your resources, you could easily just create a product out of stuff you've already done, make it simple, or you could actually just go and create your own book. And then that serves as that, you know, head of that tipping point or the tip of the spear. Yep. And so once that's done, you know, there's some techniques, I'm assuming, to then get it to rank. So it sounds like in my head, is there getting it to rank on Amazon?
Yeah.
From the way that you structure the description and things like that?
Yeah, optimizing the description. Also, like a launch?
Okay.
Absolutely. And the nice part is you don't have to write a long sales page.
Okay.
You want to keep it short and punchy, maybe three or four paragraphs at the most, really, on Amazon. Because people, if it's a good cover and a good title and a good description, and people are interested in it, chances are they'll buy it. And then the promotion of it is everything. If you already have a list, that's the best thing you can do. Promote it to your list.
Okay.
You know, change. You control the prices and everything else. The... you made me think of something about just creating the books.
Yeah.
So this is one of my fun little strategies that I think people will like. So I mentioned earlier something about licensing content, right? So one of my clients, I'm not going to mention the name, I had an idea. So most people have probably heard of ghostwriters, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like if you didn't want to write a book and you hired me as a writer or some other writer to write it, and typically it's a one-time fee, or sometimes you'd pay like a percent or two to the ghostwriter if they do a good job. But you own everything, right? You're just paying for a service. So I did kind of a reverse ghostwriting thing. I don't know anybody else who's done this necessarily, but I'm sure it's been done. And this truly is a licensing, which is just the rights to market somebody else's information. So I had an idea for a book, and but I have no following in this area. So I came up with a great title, and I wrote the book, and then I hired another writer to come in and clean it up and make a really good book. But now it's this book in a certain area that I've got no expertise, no platform, no ability to really public, you know, get it out there.
Sure.
So I went to an expert who had a very big following in this niche and genre.
Yeah.
And I said, and by the way, I've done this a few times.
Yeah.
And I said, how would you like to have a best-selling book on Amazon and not do a thing?
Wow.
I go, what?
That'd
what
be nice.
Mean? I go,
what? Well, I'm hoping this story has to do with me. I'm hoping you're like, here's your book.
Right. Well, so what happened is I had the expertise. Yeah. I had the content. What I didn't have was I didn't have a recognizable name or distribution list. Mm-hmm. So I said, what I'll do is I'll pay you 20%. Mm-hmm. And all I want to do is put your name on it. So XYZ book.
Yeah.
Social Media Marketing by Nick Unsworth. Let's just say I was going to do it like that. That's a great book. I let you read it. You're like, no, that's good. I would put my name on that if you let me.
Yeah.
Great, I'm going to let you. Social Media Marketing 101, whatever, by Nick Unsworth. And now I'm going to give it to you. The only thing you have to do is promote it to your list and be proud of it.
Mm.
So now that the ability for your list to buy the book gets it way up there. I own 80% of that. I own the copyrights. I pay you a royalty.
Mm.
I pay you a license.
Flipped it around.
Right. So as opposed, it's a reverse ghostwriting. Mm. I wrote it. I'm leveraging your distribution and your brand in order to get more buyers. So I've done that several times.
Mm.
And what's nice is the person in your position,
incredibly valuable.
You don't have to do anything. It helps you. And at the same time, I get all the income for doing the work one time.
Right.
And that's something else people can do.
Yeah. So what I'm pulling out of that is, I mean, it's basically like you've got, you know, writing a book for yourself, for your own business, you know, elevates your brand, your positioning, all that good stuff. In having something that's in the book, a call to action.
Yep.
So I write a book on Facebook advertising, and I explain that throughout the book that they can get the video series, or that they can get a complimentary training, or whatever that may be. Takes them from the physical book, out of the book, into my marketing funnel, builds my email list, and those are strong leads. But what you're describing here too is that you can actually use this to build a business.
Right.
And by the way, you're the guy building a business around the topic.
Cool. Correct. Now, in this area, what I did with him, and this can be done in any way, the leads that come in go to his funnel because he gets the market to him, but they come in hard-coded with my affiliate link, which for people who don't know, that just means if they come in and they buy anything, I get credit for it. So I make a lot of money throughout his funnel as well. If I wanted to, I could change the name. Maybe I'd want to pay him a little extra royalty instead of 20. Maybe I pay him 25%, but I keep the leads and I could continue to market to them. I could also co-brand it so that it's you and me, social media marketing with Nick Unsworth and Brad Costanzo, if I was trying to build my name there.
You could easily step into a niche like that.
Yep. So that's ultimate leverage. When I talked about I like shortcuts, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
It's not really being lazy. It's just trying to find...
Smarter. Working a little bit smarter, faster.
Right. And you know that... You mentioned one of the pillars of the show is mindset as well. So one of the... This is one of the things I'm most proud of that really helps me is whenever I'm trying to solve a business problem, I ask myself 3.5 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a who question, a what question, and a what if question, and a why not question. So it's who else has what I need, or who else needs what I have.
Mm-hmm.
What if, and then this is the brainstorming. We combine and do all of these things. What if there's could be 100 different options.
Sure.
But what if we do something together that I couldn't have done on my own? And then the last question is the why not of is there any reason that this wouldn't work? But the who else has what I need and who else needs what I have is so powerful because in this situation, you have an audience and a brand.
Sure.
I have content. You don't want to write the content. I've got it.
It's a pain in the neck.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what if we combine forces? Why not? Well, there's no reason why not push forward.
Yeah. It's like if I don't have to invest my time into writing the book and doing all the legwork, it's like, it's additional revenue anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, and if we're both profiting from it, man, it's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that this is not only, you know, for someone that is looking for a business, I mean, you could take these strategies and actually use them for someone else, use them for yourself, and then you could, like you're doing, I mean, license deals and create a business out of it. Tell us about the launch process. So let's just say, for example, you know, you've got a passion that you've identified. You want to, you know, build out a business and a brand, or you've already got that established. You wanted to take it to the next level. And then, how would you help them or give them strategies to get the bestseller?
Okay, so
and how easy is it?
All right. So a lot of how easy is it depends on who you are starting off.
Yep.
So if you are brand new
yep.
and you're coming out of nowhere and you're trying to launch your own book with no list, no expertise or nothing, it's going to be a lot harder. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to have to do a lot more work. You're going to have to, you know, do some advertising, build some relationships. And it's hard to do, you know, get somebody else to promote, hey, my brand new book, will you promote it? It's selling for $2.99.
What's in it for me?
You'll make a nickel.
Yeah.
You know, so you better have some good relationships to do that. That is a harder route. So in cases like that, I would probably do one of the things I said before, which is maybe piggyback off of somebody else at first in order to build your name.
Build it up.
Right. And then, but if you're starting with your own, the launch process really, it starts internally and it is, you want to start to build up the pressure with your own list. Mm-hmm. Let them know you're writing a book. Give them sneak peek copies.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for feedback. Make them opt in.
Sure.
Say, I'm going to give you one chapter at a time. Give me feedback. And if you can really engage and enlist your tribe in the creation of it with you, they'll feel like they're part of it. So when you open the doors, they're going to probably go buy it first and review it. So Amazon, especially, just like iTunes, really reviews are very, very important.
Yeah.
Amazon... it's not only good for people to see it, like, oh, okay, it's well-reviewed, I'll buy it, but Amazon will put it up the ranks.
Higher and higher.
Right. Same thing happens with iTunes, which is why you need to review this show,
Life on Fire.
Yes. So it is important, and it's no fun to ask for reviews, but sometimes you have to do it, and you have to ask your friends and your families, guys, go review this, give me an honest review, you know.
It's a favor.
It's a favor.
At some point, it's a little bit of a favor, and one of the things that we did on the podcast launch is we gamified it. So anyone that wrote a review for our show and then they sent an email to support at Life on Fire, boom, they got a raffle ticket and then we did some really cool prizes and stuff. But writing reviews is so key.
It's so important. And then beyond that, beyond promoting it to your list, doing a big launch strategy, Coupla, create prizes. We've done that. You know, if you leave a review, it can be a 1-star, a 5-star review. It doesn't really matter. But leave a review, send us an email, let us know you did. You'll be entered into a raffle to win XYZ. It can be really, really helpful reaching out to other bloggers and other, you know, voices of influence.
Okay.
Peeling apart, like take a chapter out of your book and maybe turn it into an article.
Okay.
And submit it. Like maybe you're covering, you know, social media and a lot of other different things.
Yeah.
Life on Fire. And if one of my chapters really appeals to you, build a relationship with you. Ask if you can guest blog on there. Give you a copy of the book to read, and it gives you content. for your people, and it, you know, and it, there's some hustle involved, especially on getting it up there, depending upon how big your list is. Several of the people I've worked with have started from scratch. Several of the people I've worked with have had 100,000 person plus list. Makes it a lot easier, right? But there's always, if you ask yourself that, who else needs what I have? Who else has what I need? You can solve a lot of problems if you network and build the right relationships that, you know, can help, you know, leverage their influence.
Okay. And then how about for, so let's just say with the launch process, basically, you've got, whether you have an email list or whether you don't, you know, you get, you basically, you've got a, sounds like the leverage points are kind of like a podcast, where you've got reviews is definitely a big, a big thing. But what about, what kind of volume do you need to do to break bestseller?
Okay.
Now, I know that there's tons of different categories and stuff, but like, and then, can, you know, and is it legitimately a bestseller, you know?
Yes. So that, this is the interesting part, and I don't want to give away the secrets, but I will.
So this, it's the tip of the spear.
True.
So that's why we have beers today, is because I know he's got loosening me up.
You know? What's, what did you put in there?
Shot of whiskey, please.
Exactly. So the interesting part about Amazon on bestsellers, so there's an overall Amazon, number one Amazon bestseller is pretty darn good. I mean, you're making a lot of money, but that's your Harry Potters and things like this, right? Gary Vaynerchuk, man.
So Amazon bestseller
is really, really good. You're making a lot of money. You gotta sell a lot of those. It's not like New York Times bestseller, which is maybe 10 to 50 times that. However, the importance of a New York Times bestseller is now starting to decrease. Before, it was a huge badge. Now, just bestseller, Amazon bestseller is it's way up there, right? Especially with the public's perception. So Joe Plummer out, you know, in middle America sees Amazon bestsellers, just sees bestseller, and it still carries a lot of weight. And that's great. Now there's overall Amazon bestseller, and then there's category bestsellers. So maybe it's, you know, there's Amazon all books and then business books. Maybe the number one bestseller in business books. But maybe you're in sales. So it's business, sales is under business, right? So you may be the number one selling sales book, number 73 in business overall, and number 1,073 in Amazon overall.
Sure.
But because you're number one seller in Amazon business sales, you can claim bestseller. The other thing is there's no bestseller police. Like in New York Times, there's bestseller, like they probably watch that if you're claiming bestseller. You know, there's a lot of history behind that. Anybody truly could say you're an Amazon bestseller. You really could, because you could have been at one time. Not all the books that, you know, I've published, and I've got, I think, at least about eight of them, and they've all been bestsellers. Some of them still are, but some of them aren't. But we still get, the author still gets to claim, I'm an Amazon bestseller.
Because you hit the chart once.
We hit it, and we took a screenshot of it, and that's
Got the proof.
And that's really all that matters. So it's not, number one, it's not as hard as it looks, because you don't have to have as many sales.
And so, like, so for, just for, you know, perspective, like, let's just say you're in, you know, within business, there's subcategories, and then someone wants to be the number one bestseller in sales. You know, what would it, like, as a total rough estimate?
So, interestingly, Amazon, and I think iTunes is the same way, loves momentum. So, it, let's just say you get 1,000 sales over the course of a few hours. You'll be number one, boom. And now you may only last for a few hours. It may only last for a day. You're the number one bestseller. Take your screenshot, right? But
so you got to kind of watch that pretty closely,
right? Because it can spike and it can be up there for a while. So this all really depends. But if you can get everybody buying your book at once, then and that's why the whole launch process. You open the doors, guys. It's ready, go
today.
Get it today. Even if you don't read it till next month, get it today. And you control the price, so you can drop the price way down. You may want to sell your book for $9, $10, but on the day of launch, you sell it for 99 cents if it's a Kindle, right? And you just drop the price to encourage as many people to buy it as quick as possible. It pumps it up, because Amazon doesn't look at price. It just looks at how many are you selling, quantity only. Right? Okay. So you're all the way up there. Now, by the time you've hit that, you can increase the price. And hopefully you're going to stay.
And what's the benefit of increasing the price? I mean, obviously there's a revenue opportunity.
Well, you make more money, as well as.
But is it sounds like the back end is where all the money is. So like it's the offers in the book. So what's your take on the balance between raising the price? Is it to make it look normal like the other books, or is it, you know, to raise the price because of a revenue opportunity?
So it all depends. I don't typically look at it as a revenue opportunity until you get to the point where you're making, you know, let's just say you're doing a, minimum of $10,000 in royalties a month, okay. Which we got a handful of books that are doing that. But wow. Yeah, and those are a lot of fun to get. But
through Amazon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so the strategy there, though, is if you are trying to promote yourself as a, like, this is my big book, like, this is my sure. thing, and you're selling it for $2.99, well, on Kindle, or if you're selling yeah. it for real cheap, it can potentially cheapen the look like, of it.
Yeah.
But not always. So some of my favorite books out there right now are selling, like, the physical copy is, like, $5.99. Yeah. And you can sell those on Amazon, same thing as Kindle. It works sure. the exact same way. The author has said, I don't really care about making money on this. I just want everybody to get it.
To have it.
There's
so if you take that position, you can make it work. Right. Where it's like, I just want to give and give.
Right. Now, there's another strategy, and this is kind of a fun tweak. And I it'd be too hard to go into the exact strategy of how to do it, but it does exist. Mm-hmm. You can trick Amazon into permanently pricing your book for free, mm-hmm. your Kindle book, giving it away. Mm-hmm. The short part of it is it's the Amazon price match.
Okay.
So if you're giving it away, if you're selling it somewhere else for free,
yeah.
it's like smashwords.com
okay.
is one.
Okay.
So I've done this. So I've published it on smashwords.com for $0. And then I published it on Amazon for, let's just say, 99 cents. And my family, my friends, just kept on going back to Amazon. And they have a little button that says, let us know of a lower price. Mm-hmm. And we just kept on letting them know, hey, it's being sold cheaper over here. And cheaper is $0.
Yeah.
It took a couple months, but Amazon took our book and it priced it for free. They wow. go, well, you're going to give it away over there? You're going to give it away over here. That's great. The whole goal is to give it away on Amazon, because now we went from selling like 50 copies a month or whatever. It was a yeah. really niche market. This is why we did this. To getting like 1,600 downloads a month, because people are like, crap, it's free. I'm going to grab it. And then you're going to get a lot more
leads and action.
Right. And then there's another book that I love. And everybody should read this. It's a free book. Mm-hmm. It's on Kindle. It's called The Flinch. Okay. I believe Flinch. And I love that. There's like one line book description. It says, a book so important we refuse to charge for it. And it's awesome, and I love it. So you get in there, and then you get
that's a great line,
right? And by the way, it was one of Seth Godin's. He published it as part of his projects, mm-hmm. and I think it was Julian Smith. It was the author. It was an amazing book. A book so important, we refuse to charge for it. Gets everybody indoctrinated into mm-hmm. his line of thinking,
sure.
And then it sends people into
sends them into the marketing funnel. That right. And so how about so you know with that strategy, with the free strategy, yeah. or even like the lowering the price, it sounds like. You want to launch and have a multi-pronged approach. Mm-hmm. So you want to have your own email list or your own network, friends, family, everyone buying the book
yep.
on the same day to spike up the charts so that you can, you know, be a bestseller. You want to, you know, corral and network with other people and do joint, you know, ventures, whatever you have to do to get as many books sold in a short period of time as possible.
Absolutely.
Now, outside of that, it sounds like that there's people that are just downloading the, you know, those books or they're buying them on a regular basis.
Yep.
So tell us about, you know, what do you do for keywords or for the description on these books so that people will always find them? So how do you get your book to rank up on Amazon?
Cool. So it's not that hard to do. It depends on what area you're in. So the title of your book is really important.
Okay.
So you don't want to keyword stuff your title.
Okay.
But if you can get some keywords in there or put it in a subtitle, it helps because okay. that's the most important thing. I mean, it's really just putting the keywords you want to be found for if somebody sure. are typing those in.
So if it's a book on Facebook advertising, you kind of want to like, you know.
Yeah, and I might put something about Facebook advertising, secrets, blah, blah, blah. Like make something kind of catchy mm-hmm. that people are going to, it's going to sound like a real book versus yeah. just how to advertise on Facebook. You know, that's sure. kind of going to be boring, but Facebook advertising for the, you know, for a certain market or for whatever. Okay. Phenomenal.
For a certain niche.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that really helps. And then in the description, you don't want to keyword stuff too much, but mm-hmm. you want to use your primary keywords. And then they have...
So primary keywords for anyone that's not familiar, I mean, that would just be...
What
you know,
yeah, people might be searching. Yeah, what people might be searching for in order to find your book. So if I type in Facebook advertising, I want to come across okay. yours. If I type in how to, you know, paid advertising, PPC advertising, stuff like that, they may sure. want to come across Facebook. Okay. So,
and then tell me about like the overall flow of the book. So mm-hmm. I've heard differing opinions. So let's just say, for example, you know, a how-to book. Mm-hmm. So just think about Facebook advertising. on one hand, let's call it option A, is a how-to book where it's literally screen captures and it's how to advertise on Facebook. You know, and it walks through, you know, examples of, there would be a case study.
Sure.
But it's literally how to actually do it. Versus the other one, which would be more about the what. Mm-hmm. And it's more about what's possible with advertising on Facebook. Maybe you're highlighting, you know, three big name, or, you know, three success stories that you have, and it's inspirational a bit, and it's exciting. And then maybe for lead generation, the how-to is kind of that they have to opt in to get that the how-to.
Correct.
What's your take on just the difference, or, you know, how you would advise writing the book?
So there's multiple ways to do it. People definitely don't want to feel as though they need something else in order to make the book complete. The book, so the book should be useful, and there's a term in marketing, useful but incomplete. You want it to be useful in and of itself, but if they want more, if they want to take it to the next level, this is where they click. Or if they click here and they want to get a membership in a, you know, private video place where they can learn even more details. Anecdotes and case studies are huge in there, because people want to read, okay, here's the what and the why. And, oh, and here's a story of how it worked. Cool, because people know they're not buying a complete home study course.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times. And but you want it to be good. You want it to have those stories. You want it to have a personal feel to it.
Yeah.
And I will say this. So one of the negative sides of it is that in the world of information marketing, there's a lot of ebook creators. You know, you throw something on ClickBank or you throw something somewhere else and you write honestly, there's a lot of crappy books out there, right? You write a piece of crappy book, you sell it for $27, $47, and you expect people to go buy it. Well, if they buy it and it's not that good, maybe they ask for a refund, or maybe they just, you know, delete it off their hard drive. On Amazon, they can go to the reviews and they can review you. And I've had one-star reviews because of a grammatical mistake. Mm-hmm. You said your, not your, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
One star. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on, you're killing me here.
Yeah.
I'll respond to
this. Because it forces you to put out a better product.
It has to be quality. And if it's not quality, there's ways, if you write a short book, a 25-page book, and you just throw on there that, hey, this is a report on XYZ, I'm selling it for 99 cents or $2.99 or whatever, but position it as such. Don't position it as this masterpiece you want to do. So quality really matters.
It sounds like setting the right expectations.
Right.
You know?
But like what I just said with also 25 pages, you can do that. You can do a 25-page book or report on Kindle. You really want to be about 50 to 100 pages minimum to do a physical book. But how are you positioning
it? What about a picture book?
You can absolutely do picture books. A lot of people have a lot of success with that. Kids, children's books.
Yeah.
Yep. You can do that.
For entrepreneurs.
Yep.
It's like a flip book. Or like, what about a book where you just like flip it and then it, you know, does like the motion?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
That's what I'll do.
On Kindle, and you just have to do like this.
Swipe it really fast.
Right. But it's a really effective strategy. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat. You just have to kind of be creative and understand, number one, quality matters. Number two, it's a... You know, you're trying to build a name for yourself here, or for whoever you're doing it. I'll say there's three primary reasons to do any kind of Amazon publishing. One is for credibility, one is for lead generation, and one is for royalties.
Yep.
And I rank them in that order. So credibility is number one. If you make nothing else, if somebody Googles your name,
boom.
Here's a good example. I've got a friend of mine. He's looking for a sales job, just corporate sales, and he can't find one. And when I Google his name, I don't find much except for his Facebook profile, maybe his LinkedIn profile, a couple of other things. So what I'm helping him do is have a ghostwriter write a book on sales, 101, basic sales stuff, how to keep a customer for life kind of thing. And we're putting his name on it. And the whole goal is not for anybody to ever read this book. It will be a generic sales book, but good enough. The whole goal is when he's looking for a job, somebody Googles, you know, Joe Smith. That's actually Joe Smith.
Not his name.
If somebody Googles Nick Unsworth, and let's just say you were looking for a sales job, and these days you're gonna get Googled no matter what if you're looking for a job. Especially, I come across you and I see this dude wrote a book on sales. You're just stood out from everybody else.
It's like, you know, I wrote a book on sales. You can get the job.
Yeah. So think of it as proactive, you know, reputation management, or reputation creation is another way to think about it. Like, even if you get a basic book, just throw it out there. Get your name, get your face on it. It's going to give you so much more credibility, whether you're an entrepreneur trying to raise money, whether you're a salesperson looking for a job, anything, if you're getting Googled. It's not a bad thing.
It's one of those
have.
Things. I don't have regrets in life. I mean, it's just not how I live. But I got to say that writing a book on Facebook marketing, if I had done that when I started, my life would be so much different right now.
Mm-hmm. So you just made me think of something else. And this is why it's so cool to do this as a tip of the spear for other consulting mm-hmm. things. So you have got a million things going on. Mm-hmm. You're really busy. And the idea of writing a book and getting it on Amazon, you know, maybe I'll make some money on it, but I'm making so much more money on other stuff that I don't really want to put all the time and effort into that.
It seems like it's a big project.
Right. Yeah. And it is. Yeah. But if somebody comes along and says, hey, I'll do all this stuff for you.
It's huge.
Like, okay, go ahead and do it. Now we've got a relationship. Yeah. Now we've got all this other stuff. And that's one of the reasons it's so good, because everybody wants it, but not everybody's willing to spend the time.
Yeah. I think what's cool about that is that talk about a great opportunity for someone that doesn't have a business that just learns that process. So it's like you go out, you get your own book on Amazon, take that experience and boom, all you have to do is look at top podcasters, look at top, bloggers, and you could reach out to them with that strategy and build a business, right? Like you have.
You could write their book for them.
Yeah.
Like before you approach them. You could take
even ghostwriter
their best, you could take the best blog posts that they've done, transcribe their podcasts, and get it edited. Maybe you're going to spend a few hundred dollars on it. It's not really that much money when you know how to outsource. But let's just say I spent $500 and I didn't know you and I came to you or anybody else with, you know, a business reputation, and I go, hey Nick, my name's Brad Costanzo, and you know, we don't know each other, but I'm a really big fan of your work, and I took it upon myself to compile a list of your best stuff, edit it, make it flow. I wanted to give it to you, see what you thought about it, and if you're interested in, you know, I've got a small publishing company, I'm happy to publish this, and you know, give you a, you know, great deal on it, royalty,
20%.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
10%.
Whatever. I don't care if I give you 80%.
Yeah.
You know, I'll keep 20%. And because now I'm just trying to get my foot in the door, establish that relationship.
Sure.
You can do that. Write it in advance. You want to get a hold of somebody bigger than you ever thought that would ever take a call? You write their book for them with their words.
They will call you back.
They will call you back.
Now, that right there slides right into networking.
Cool.
So, you know, that's one of the pillars. It's so good. I mean, dude, our mastermind is incredible from networking with each other. Mastermind that I was in back when I first got started, like helped me narrow my niche and figure, you know, life out. And everything that you keep talking about as far as writing the book and then going to that mainstream high-level entrepreneur that you're aspiring to be like, where they might not want to pick up your call, but when you add value for them first, boom. So what for you, you know, how is networking in your business just propelled you forward, and what would be any tips for someone that wants to do it?
Only thing that's propelled me forward, I think, like when I say only, it's one of the things I'm most proud of. I do it naturally. Some people don't, so it's a lot harder. But the leverage you get from networking correctly, number one, and I'll share in just a second a great story that I did, like the best thing I had done in marketing, which blew up my business to the point where I could sell it. So I big fan of always giving first. So there was somebody that, for instance, that I wanted to meet. It was when I had my information product, I wanted to sell it, and I wanted to be their affiliate. So one of the first things I did is I contacted them and said, listen, I'm interested in being an affiliate of yours, but I went through their, like, I love copywriting. Mm-hmm. It's just one of my strengths.
Sure.
But I went through their sales page, and I made a couple of, I found two mistakes in their sales page, and I also made a couple of suggestions. And the way I made those was, hey, look, I'm really interested in promoting your stuff. I love it, blah, blah, blah. I've got this product over here. I barely mentioned my product.
Yeah.
But I do have a list. And I quick little, I want to tell you, found a couple little errors. By the way, some other tests that I've personally done and that I've, you know, worked with some other people in changing, I forget what it was, but changing maybe trying a different headline or changing a guarantee or changing some wording has given proven results. I don't know if it's, if you wanted to try it, but I thought I'd pass on the, you
know, on the good word,
right? Pay it forward.
Yeah.
So I just offered some unsolicited advice that, number one, kind of established that, okay, this dude knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Number two, he wants to promote me.
Yeah.
And I barely mentioned my stuff. Like,
sure,
he'd promote me later. I don't care about that. Yeah. Let me just
you're
do
just straight giving right out of the gate.
100%. I had a list of like 2,500 people. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. This guy wasn't going to make any money, but I built that relationship.
Yeah.
And then he led me to other people, and he, you know, we just got along.
Yeah.
And the key is always going. I mean, it's crazy how elementary this is to people like us.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how stupid people are, really stupid, where like they don't listen. They go in, me, like take. Hey, can you do this stuff for me? Like, no, don't even do that, especially if you're dealing with somebody who's got, you know, higher.
That's busier than you and that makes more money.
More successful, yeah, because they're getting people wanting stuff from them all the time.
Yeah.
And it's very rare that they get somebody to give them stuff. So I've done that in a big way. I attend, you know, in the internet marketing world, a regular marketing world, I attend a lot of live events.
Sure.
Not for the information. I get better information than, you know, from reading a home study course or a book.
Yeah.
I go there for the relationships. And you always pivot off somebody else. If I know you, we're going there, it's kind of understood, hey, you're going to introduce me to somebody else, and I'm going to do the same thing. And in fact, I will introduce you way better than I expect you to introduce me. Like, you got to meet my buddy Nick. This guy is one of the, you know, is the leading expert, the most electrifying man in Facebook marketing. You got to talk to this guy. Actually, you're lucky if he talks to you. I'll even ham it up, but I'll make you feel so great. So the art of introducing somebody else is huge, because people remember how you made them feel. I'm going to try to make you feel amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, that Brad guy is kind of cool.
Yeah, right. And I think what's also awesome about this is that sometimes people make introductions that are, even if, so it's almost like two parts. Yeah. So like you do, you're setting the stage, you're preparing, you're making an amazing intro. But then the other thing is, a guy like you would only introduce me or someone else to someone if it's truly valuable, valuable. Whereas there's nothing worse than someone introducing you to someone that just wastes your time, you know, like a bad introduction, like destroys your credibility.
That's the other thing. So I used to do this, and then I forgot where I heard it, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Which is, if I know you and I know Jim Bob over here, I like to use the word Jim Bob. Jim Bob sounds fun.
Jim Bob's cool.
So it's maybe Jim Bob and you should meet, or maybe Jim Bob wants to meet you, and I go, it's traditional for most people to send an email CCing both of you. Hey, Jim Bob, I'd like you to meet Nick. And Nick, I'd like you to meet Jim. And I think you guys are both, you know, can do some cool stuff. Yeah. That's dangerous, because you may not have wanted an introduction to Jim Bob. Like, ask first. Ask, hey, would you like me to introduce? I've got this guy, Jim Bob. He really wants to meet you. It's funny saying Jim Bob. But he really wants to meet you. And XYZ, he may or may not be able
to help
you.
Here's what the opportunity is. Here's what the benefits are. Yeah.
Right. At least set it up. Give you the opportunity to say, dude, I'm too busy. And I'm going to say to him, do you want me to introduce you to Nick? Cool. I'm going to do that individually. Then when I do the matchup, you're both kind of expecting it. Don't just do those, because I've gotten those too. Like, hey, Brad, I want you to meet so-and-so. I'm like, ah, son of a...
Dude, you know, I think this is such a great topic, because we talk about networking a lot, but we haven't drilled down to this level. And this is such a meaningful one. And I think there's just a couple examples. One, actually both have to pertain with Lewis House, but I love that guy. I mean, he's, you know, he's a great networker. You know, he got me.
That's not what you were saying off camera. Sorry, jokes.
But like he, you know, he got helped us get a really good deal with Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, for the books and everything. And that was awesome. That was really helpful. And so there was two things that was kind of interesting. One was I got this crazy offer to be on the Millionaire Matchmaker.
Nice,
And it was funny, because it happened not more than like 2 weeks after I met like Megan, who I'm like crazy about. And so I said, no, I'm like, you know, I just met someone. They're like, when did you meet her? 2 weeks ago? They're like, are you kidding me? You're going to turn this? I'm like, yeah, no, I just met her. And then they're like, well, who do you know that's, you know, an entrepreneur that's handsome? I'm thinking, Lewis House, you know? And but I didn't just connect the two of them, because she knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
She would have been all over him, like, you know, hounding him to be on it. I thought it was such a cool opportunity. I thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I thought, you know, being on TV, if you're an online marketer, you're building a business like ours, I mean, it's kind of a good way to get out there.
Absolutely.
You know, if as long as you don't get chewed up by Patty.
Yeah, exactly.
But before I connected them, I did the courtesy move like you're talking about. And I asked him first, and he's like, nah, it's not for me, not my style, not my brand. Because, he, you know, he's got a brand he's keeping up with. Now, second thing is, I've got one of my very own clients, Firestarter Elite Valerie Schutman. Valerie, what up? She's amazing. She runs our Facebook ads. She is an absolute rock star.
Cool.
And she's in our coaching at our highest level. So I always try and go above and beyond for our, you know, elite clients. And, you know, she just point blank asked me for an introduction to Lewis House.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, I was totally conflicted, because I want to do everything I can for our elite clients, and I do a ton, and we promote them, and I'm always making introductions. But I paused and I pumped the brakes for a second because it was like, you know what? I better ask Lewis first and explain the value to him. So it's me spending extra time, but it sets it up for her. Because if I just introed him and he blew her off, it doesn't do anyone any good. Versus I'm going to get on the phone with him.
It actually does everybody poorly.
Exactly.
Everybody, like
everyone
it hurts everybody.
Loses. Everyone loses. So that's a huge thing.
You lose face. You don't look as important. Yeah. You know, in her eyes, to Lewis. Lewis thinks, hey, Nick,
he connected me with someone that it's not going to help.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly.
If she wants him on her show,
and then she thinks he's a jerk because he didn't. Yeah, all that stuff. Exactly.
So that's a great point. So it's, you know, it's giving first,
right?
But it's also really making the art of the introduction.
Oh,
that's
huge.
A big one.
It's huge.
Those are two big major topics, the pillars.
All right.
So we've got.
Well, you want me to tell you the one huge thing that I did with networking?
Oh yeah.
So
we can't leave that out.
So I was a nobody in my niche.
Is that NLP right there?
Yeah.
Do you want me to leave? Do you want to leave out the
would
one
you maybe
huge
want to,
thing?
I would love it if you asked me to, you know, to talk about the one cool thing that I did. I would be totally cool if you asked me to do that. So it's a short story. I was a nobody in my niche, but I knew because of this, I knew like four or five really kind of key people. So I simply said, you know, we're always talking and stuff, and you know, in our niche, there's not a lot of people keeping track of what promotions and launches are going on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and create a private blog and community for us. And this is, you know, I didn't do it on Facebook. I could have, but and I'm gonna create a Google group so we can all kind of talk with each other. So it's like a mass, a mass mailing list. And then what you guys can do, and we'll make this a private group only for gurus in this niche. And if you know anybody else, other marketers who fit these criteria, why don't you send them an invite over to this page, and I'll have them fill out an application, like three or four things, which allowed me to put myself in the center. So now there were people I could never have gotten a hold of, and they're like, hey, I want to join this group. So they'd fill it out, and I'd call them up. Hey, Nick, this is Brad. Yeah, I just saw, you know, I run this group, and I noticed you wanted to belong. Yeah, and Carlos is the one who sent you over. Cool. And I've been a big fan of your stuff. So basically, I wasn't the coolest kid on the playground, but I was having the party at my house. And you had to knock on my door to get in. Right? So because I set it up and I organized it, so folks would come to me.
You added value.
I added value. Yeah. They came to me. I put myself at the center of the wheel. And although I wasn't the biggest, the smartest, or whatever, everybody had initially come through my door.
Yeah.
And then I created a tremendously valuable mastermind for the niche. It's still going strong to this day, like 4 or 5 years later.
Sweet.
And it is responsible for over $10 million in transactions and sales from the joint ventures and alliances that it created. And I got all the social capital. I didn't charge for it. I wish I would have. I'd have made a lot. But it was the social capital that I created. And then
it's the law of reciprocity.
It's the law of reciprocity.
You brought them together. You helped them out. Good things happened. And that forever they're going to think of you in that light.
Yeah. So now when I ask for some reciprocal promotion, you know, they didn't really turn me down very often. So that was kind of my fun little networking thing. And it's always cool to do. If you're not the coolest kid, have the party at your house.
Absolutely. I mean, what's crazy is I had a company called The Connection Tree back in 07.
Right.
And what I found is that, have you ever heard of like B&I meetings?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I used to be at one.
B&I meetings, you've got Chamber of Commerce meetings, you've got, you know, networking meetings. And so what I found is that going to them as a participant is really beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, where you're the person that created the hub,
right?
You were at the center of the wheel. And so with the Connection Tree, I was the person that started them in major cities all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so cool is that being at the center, it's totally different.
Yep.
I did that when I was in real estate and I was the guy at the center. And it's like the perception of you, the referrals, the leads that you get, because you're the one that adds the most value, you're putting in the legwork.
Absolutely.
It's a great, I think, you know, great takeaway is that, you know, if you're getting started in your niche, then find the influencers in that space and bring them together in a meaningful, very high value way. And you're going to get a lot of benefit also from that. As you help them, you're going to get benefit back.
I've got a good buddy of mine, and he runs the largest mastermind in the real estate investment niche.
Okay.
And he's done exactly that. He brought in the top people, meets 4 times a year, and they all pay a lot of money to be in it, sharing the best practices. He is not an expert. I mean, he's an expert, but he's not the guru.
Yeah.
He is not, they don't come there to learn from him. He holds these events. He makes them teach each other, but he has such social capital, and he works 4 times a year. and makes nearly $1 million a year from doing that.
That's not a bad gig. That's a life on fire.
Oh man.
That's crazy.
I'll get an interview with you.
Yeah. All right. Hey, well, let's see. He's already making interest. See,
exactly.
Man. Can you just send me his, can you give me his phone number right now?
I'll do it right now.
So cool. So we just got a few minutes left. So I want to cut to a couple things. Yeah. I think we may have to have you back on about the mindset, right, about what you were talking about off camera. That's a really cool technique.
That'll be one of my first episodes too.
Yeah. And you shows. Know, so that'll be part of it, is that, you know, what we were talking about off camera is a really awesome technique for mindset. And we'll save that, you know, one of your episodes. There'll be something that in the show notes we'll put, you know, a link to your episode, to your podcast and things. I want to, you know, part of having you here is, I think, you know, I really would love for you guys to really support Brad. I mean, the guy's super well connected. Get connected with him. Follow him on Twitter. You know, like his Facebook page. Get connected, because the guy's an influencer. The guy's a major connector. And starting his podcast, I'm super excited to see you rolling it out, because I know that you're differentiating. Yeah. And I know that, you know, you're going to definitely blow this thing up really fast. So we'll, you know, have his information about the podcast. So check it out. Write a review. Help out our fellow buddy Brad here. And tell us about, you know, as we kind of dive into the very last pillar, just a couple minutes on purpose, tell us about how you're taking a pivot right now. And you're kind of doing a little bit of reinventing with your podcast and the direction that it is and why you're starting it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Since I sold my business, you know, a year and a half ago, it's really been a great reinvention story. I moved from Dallas to San Diego, and the only, as opposed to just starting another business, I just wanted to use my skills to help other entrepreneurs do what they're doing better. And some of them get started. I do tend to work with established businesses who are doing $1 million and up, but I also, you know, work with people who are just kind of starting off. Mm-hmm. And I really get fired up by helping to move the needle in somebody's life, or and whether it's in their business or their life, and seeing something that I know and that I've, you know, this hard fought knowledge turn somebody's life around. And, you know, I look like I'm a magician, and they look, you know, they're able to do things they've never been able to do. And I've been able to mainly get that from consulting. And the reason I wanted to start the show is there's some selfish reasons, you know, which is establishing more thought leadership of myself. And, you know, one of the hardest parts, I know when we talked about this, you're like, you're involved in so many things. How do I really introduce you? What do you do? I think of you as
Amazon guy. Yeah,
I think of this, that, and the other. But I wanted to show on my show that I'm much more than that as well. And this is kind of my broad-based way to give back, to take all of, I'm a voracious learner. I have tons of intellectual curiosity. I have a really good memory. So you know, I file a lot of things away that I never even get a chance to use. And this is one of my ways to not only solve business problems, put a unique spin on them, and give back, but also the, you know, the selfish reasons is to build a platform for myself to reach out to some of the unreachable folks that I've always thought, like, hey, now I've got a show, let me feature you and let's do something together. Yeah. And that's actually one of the great benefits of something like a podcast, is it features networking.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a huge distribution now, and people are honored to be on, like myself, honored to be on your show. So it, I know for myself, it'll lead to more opportunities, but at the same time, if any of these shows ignite an idea or a change in somebody else's life. And, you know, the show's called Bacon Wrapped Business. And
is that what it's called?
Yeah, Bacon Wrapped Business with Brad Costanzo, the only show guaranteed to make you fat.
Profits.
Oh! So you like that?
That is so good.
Cool. So
the only show guaranteed to make you fat.
Profits.
Dot, dot, dot.
Exactly.
Boom.
So I came up with that name for a couple reasons. Number one is I do feel as though I think way out of the box, and a lot of my friends are like, man,
you're going to have creative. To do, are you going to like every episode at least have one piece of bacon or
I
something?
I should.
Like,
brought to you by Oscar But I will. I've already thought about the intro is going to have this, like it's going to start off
dancing
like
bacon. Sizz-
no, like sizzling.
Oh.
And then music. I don't know. So we'll see. But that's all in the planning stages. But there's two reasons. So number one, everything's better with bacon. Right, you wrap something you love in bacon, it's mind-blowing. You wrap something you hate in bacon, it's pretty darn good now.
Yeah.
So in my twisted world, bacon is my take and my advice and my take on a business challenge or problem. So you bring it to me, I'm going to wrap it in bacon, which is put my unique twist on it. But more importantly, I didn't just want to do another show like the Brad Costanzo Show, the Business Hour, Brad. Like, that's boring to me. I can't have fun with
that.
But
if you're wrapped in bacon.
I'm all wrapped in bacon. I'm going to have a bacon blanket.
A bacon cape.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought, You know, if I do something like that, actually where I did it is I listened to somebody else's podcast. It was a buddy of mine, and I just posted it on Facebook. I'm like, that's some bacon wrap business advice right there. And when I wrote it, I was like, that's kind of catchy, bacon wrap business advice. And it reminds me to have fun. Yeah. And not to take myself or the show too seriously, but, you know, to make it good, but to make it entertaining, because I don't want to do anything if it's not entertaining.
Yeah.
And whether it's joking or having fun or just kind of keeping it lighthearted.
Just snacking on bacon.
I mean, that's also fun to say. And plus, I'm hoping if you're coming across the, you know, if you're looking for a good podcast to listen to and you come across blah, blah, blah business, blah, 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 so-and-so show, Life on Fire with them, definitely subscribing to that. And then Bacon Wrap Business, like, what is it? Is that about bacon? Because if it is, I'm going to listen to it. But then it's not, maybe I'll have a bacon recipe on every show. I just thought it would grab somebody's curiosity.
It's unique, man. Right. It creates the visual,
yep.
And it's playful and fun, and yeah, that's awesome. I haven't heard that till now, man.
And you know, titles make a big difference. Going back to Amazon, the title of your book, it should be catchy, and it should be memorable, and it should have a brand behind it.
Sure.
And you know, I was talking with another friend of mine. He goes, you know, your goal should be to create a real meme, which is a real like viral spreading idea that. Got a problem, wrap it in bacon, or man, that's a bacon wrap solution right there. You know, like maybe I could have that kind of an impact on the world of marketing. Is that's some bacon wrap advice. you guys will see.
Dude, because we're totally going to have like the image for this episode be wrapped in bacon. I'm thinking.
I know. Yeah.
We have to.
I got to get a bacon blanket though. I guarantee it exists.
A bacon Snuggie?
Yeah.
Now that's the life on fire.
You know so I walked in today. I don't know if that's on the show or not, but I walked in and you got this great Life on Fire grab bag.
You got to catch the Pay It Forward Friday where it was just a Brad wrapped in bacon cameo.
Yeah. So that'd be great. I'm going to steal your thing. I'm just going to hand somebody like a plate full of bacon when they walk in my house. Here you go.
You're on.
Bacon grab bag. So
dude,
that's kind of what I'm, one of the things I'm up to right now amongst the, you know, million other stuff. But
dude, I love it. Well, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely. I want to wish you all the best of luck with the show.
Appreciate it.
And we're definitely going to be supporting you. And I'm excited for, you know, to get more of your knowledge on a regular basis. And guys, definitely check out Brad and help him out. He's very generous with his time and his influence, so definitely appreciate that. And before we wrap up, final question, which is, what's one thing that most people don't know about bacon-wrapped Brad?
Bacon-wrapped Brad, what do they not know about
me? Just one random factoid.
I met my current girlfriend using a magic trick at a bar.
What was the magic trick?
So, this was pretty funny. I met her and a girlfriend of hers, and
this is good. All right, here we go.
You finally got it out of me. I started to sweat. I wasn't sweating until that. So this was pretty fun. I did really get into the whole my love of, you know, just spontaneous quick magic tricks and not even card tricks. But so my girlfriend and her friend were standing there. My girlfriend now, but we met each other. And we just kind of randomly.
My girlfriend now.
Yeah. Well, I said my girlfriend and I. It's like, and then I was hitting on another girl. But we just happened to run into each other several years ago. We were just at a regular bar and it wasn't like a pickup or anything.
Yeah.
You know, random friends started talking, hitting it off, and the waitress comes over and she. Like, do you guys want something to drink? So they ordered a couple drinks, and I ordered a drink. And she comes back with the drinks, and I forget how much she said it was. Something like, I don't know, that'll be $18, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I've got this, girls. And I reached into my wallet, and I pulled out.
And you didn't know them at all?
No, I'd been talking to them for like 20 minutes or so. But so I'm still at that point where I could blow it, right? So I pulled out the my wallet, and I reached in, and I grabbed a one, and the rest of it was empty. I was like, oh, you girls are going to have to get this because I'm broke. Now, no girl wants to hear that when you're talking to a guy. And I was like, wait. And even the waitress was kind of like, wow, that's unfortunate.
Awkward.
I go, you girls got to get this because I'm broke. Wait a minute. And I folded the $1 bill and it became a $5. I was like, that's not enough, is it? I folded it again and it became a $10. I was like, that's not enough, is it? I folded it one more time and it was a $20, like right in front of their eyes. I go, here, just keep the change. And then the girls are like, jaws are dropped going, what'd you do? I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, how'd you do that magic trick? I was like, what magic trick? You girls are drunk. Like, what the hell's going on? So I was played it off.
To this day,
my girlfriend will admit, yes, he picked me up for the magic trick. And she did for months and months. I still don't know if she knows how I did that. But for months and months, she's like, how'd you do that? So I used magic.
If you're looking for love, Dr. Brad can... can also help you out. That is awesome, man.
It was pretty fun.
Well, we may have to put some of these magic tricks up to work, because depending on when you see this episode, we're also going to run around town and we are going to do a pay it forward
handing out bacon.
Yeah, handing out bacon. Just doling it out bacon. We may have to do that.
That would be funny.
That'd be hilarious, actually.
That would be fun.
You know, when your show goes live, we may have to sit in beach chairs out front and do a barbecue with only bacon and then bacon wrapped bread. And then people walk by and just hook them up with bacon.
Want some free bacon? Yeah, subscribe to my show. Leave me a review on my show. I'll give you a plate of bacon.
Slab of bacon.
Why not?
Get a slab.
Richard Branson's famous for doing publicity stunts like that. I want to do a big old...
Dude, well, Lady Gaga wore a dress that was just meat.
Meat dress, yeah.
Do a bacon dress.
Yeah, the ooh in the background.
Got a couple oohs. Well, yeah. I think that wraps things up for this episode. But, dude, this has been awesome, man.
Absolutely.
I just want to thank you for sharing your knowledge. And, guys, if you dig this episode, be sure to go to lifeonfire.com and to grab the show notes for this. And another reason that we're going to throw in there, this is just another benefit of going to lifeonfire.com and grabbing the show notes, because we're going to pick Brad's brain off camera for more books. So one book took this guy's life and just set him off. I've had a book that just popped me off too, as far as becoming an entrepreneur. So I'm going to pick his brain off camera. We're going to grab a book list, and that could be something so simple that could also help you grow your business. And if you're not an entrepreneur yet, help you become one and ultimately set your business and life on fire.
Yeah.
Set your business and stay on three.
Set your business
and life on fire.
And wrap it in bacon.
And wrap it in bacon. Bacon.
Review
bacon,
his
bacon.
Show, guys. Hey, he may try to be really,
humble pie
about this. But seriously, how much do you get paid for every episode? How much does the network pay you? $1 million per episode?
Well, we actually incur quite a bit of costs
exactly
for these episodes.
So you do this for
video
free.
Guy, come here. You are not cheap.
So let me be the bad guy. We're not asking you to donate money, but. One of the things, maybe we are, but seriously, if you like the show and you haven't left a review, the bad part is iTunes can make it a pain in the butt to review stuff. I know if I'm on my phone, I'm subscribed to something, I'm like, this is a pain to review. But do you read every single review you get?
Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very closely, probably more than the emails you get.
Yeah.
If you like the show,
review it.
And I'm not just saying this because it will help you in the rankings, although that's the benefit, but it'll keep you doing this. The more feedback you get.
Totally. I mean, like any positive feedback, reviews, comments on the blog, that's like that's fuel in the tank, fuel on the fire to keep rolling and doing it. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of effort, and expensive and time.
You could have been out, making some money during this hour.
Your magic tricks.
Yeah, and blowing it with me, like providing this stuff. So anyway, well, I just wanted to.
That. Yeah, thank you, guys. And I definitely appreciate anyone, taking the time to write that review, because, I am kind of a laid back kind of dude. So, but I don't ask too aggressively. But yeah, those reviews are incredibly helpful. So, heading out and going to lifeonfirereviews.com and learning how you can write a review if you don't know how. But super helpful.
And if you don't like it, email him.
Yeah, email me. Yeah, don't write a bad review. But Brad, man, been awesome.
Yes, my pleasure.
Bacon wrap, Brad. You guys have a great rest of your day and live that life on fire.
Fire.
Boom.
I'm here to help you set your life on fire.